Welcome to Revive Illinois, a podcast about seeking a new season of life in the church all across the land of Lincoln. This ministry is provided by the Illinois Baptist State Association.
Thank you for joining us today. I'm Scott Foshi, and we are your partner in Health, Growth, and Mission. And we're going to listen in to a conversation that I had with Kevin Jones, one of IBSA's mobilization directors. And in this episode of Revive Illinois, we're going to talk about the importance of coaching and mentorship. You need to have a coach and a mentor, and so do I. And you also need to be coaching, mentoring, discipling someone else. This is absolutely essential if you're going to see the needle move in your church and in your ministry. God meant for us to have mentors and coaches, and we're going to hear about that today. So let's listen in to our October revitalization webinar as we talk about the value of coaching and mentoring in revitalization. Good morning, guys. It's great to have you with us if you're watching live. And then also want to say hello to all of you who are going to be watching this on demand or through podcast. Scott Foshi here with your IBSA revitalization team, and we're your partner in Health, Growth, and Mission. We're thankful to be with you and want to thank all of the pastors and leaders that attended our virtual training last night. I'm hearing, Kevin, that we had almost 200 leaders that were on that last night. So that's great. And we're just trying to provide as many different resources for you as possible because we love you and we want to serve you in any way we can. I just want to remind you, if you are watching live, we're blessed to have you with us. And if you're in GoToWebinar, you'll see a questions box. And if you'll put the questions there, I'm going to be checking that throughout our broadcast today. And as Kevin and I have our discussion, we're going to look at those and we'll interject those. And we would love to have your input. And then if you're watching us later, if you're not watching live, we still would love to hear your questions or have your feedback. And you can email me, scottfoshi@ibsa.org. And Kevin's with us today. Kevin is one of our mobilization directors. Kevin, tell us about how you serve on the IBSA team.
Scott, yeah. So I am the state director of church planting. So I help with planting churches all over the state. And I also oversee collegiate ministries. We have BSM. We also have church plants on collegiate campuses. So I oversee that as well.
Awesome. Well, we're thankful for all the ways that you serve. And one thing that I hope you can see through the different webinars we do, pastors and leaders, is that you have a team here. We're eager to serve you and we want to serve you in a lot of different areas. And I'm thankful that Kevin is with us today. And our topic we're going to be talking about comes from the Revision book. And if you still don't have a free copy of that, we would love to mail you one. Just email me, scottfoshi@ibsa.org, or you can email Tammy Ratch. She's our ministry assistant in revitalization, tammyratch@ibsa.org. And we will get that book out to you. I think you'll find it a great resource as you work to see new life and new health in your churches. And Kevin, what we're talking about today is I know you are passionate about this because you see the need for it as you work with young leaders, as you see college ministry. Malfers talks about the importance of having a mentor or a coach in your life to be successful in revitalization. Revitalization just means that we're being spiritually healthy. And so we need to be coached and we need to be mentored, but we also need to have someone that we're coaching and mentoring. And I'm reminded of this quote, Kevin, that Howard Hendricks says in his book, Iron Sharpened Irons. He says, wherever you turn today, you will find men looking for a guide, a coach, a model, an advisor. They're looking for someone who knows life. And Kevin, do you find that young people are craving that kind of leadership?
Most of the time, yes. You see, like whenever they're really wanting to make an impact, they're going to approach people about it. They're going to find people of influence that they see making an influence for the kingdom, and they're going to come and try to attach themselves to you. And I mean, I'm going to say one of the things that I have noticed in my own life and my own ministry is like, always make sure they're making the initiative, because if you're always making the initiative of trying to push them, you're not coaching them, you're trying to drag them. So that's just kind of just a extra fun thing to add in there. But yeah, they're normally looking for coaching and mentoring. They want that and they yearn for that and they crave for that, the younger generations.
That's right. And on the flip side of that, Kevin, wouldn't you say that you're praying for more pastors and elders with experience to have an interest in not just doing the programs of ministry, but developing leaders?
Yeah, I mean, most of the time we see older ministers they kind of have this idea of what they want to do, like maybe mentoring or coaching, but it's maybe not exactly what the people need. Like, we need to make sure that we're always pushing them first. Okay. And what I mean by that is not like we don't care about God in that instance, but what I mean for that is we're caring about what God is calling them to do and not about what we need filled in our church.
So that's such a good point right there. And if we take that life view and helping them be the people God wants them to be, instead of just doing a task that's at hand, we'll really see disciple making take off in our churches, won't we?
Yes. Yes, we will.
Well, let's look at the differences between coaching and mentoring, because there are some differences, because we use those terms kind of interchangeably a lot. And Malfers in his book talks about the differences. First of all, coaching, when we use that word coach, that is like a predefined shorter period of time. So there's a clear start point. There's a clear end point, and maybe it's several months. Maybe it's a season of a year. A lot of times when we use that word coaching, it's maybe a bit more impersonal, just because coaching may involve a lot more people, a group of people in sports or in ministry. So it's an intentional coaching time. And then also in a coaching process, Kevin, you're going to ask directed questions to help the person you're coaching determine his or her own course of action. So you're asking guiding questions, but you're letting that person that you're coaching make the final decision. It doesn't matter age. So actually in ways, maybe as an older pastor, it might be good to have a little bit of coaching from someone younger than you, and vice versa. Right, Kevin?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it's one of the things of letting younger leaders sit at the table. If we never let them sit at the table and our churches continue to age and continue to die, it's our fault, because we never wanted to listen. We never wanted to give them input. And the other thing is that pretty much jumps into mentoring. Normally, you're not going to be mentored by a younger leader. They're wanting mentoring from you because they want, in essence, they want to be you. They see your marriage. They see your pastoring. They see your shepherding of the flock. They want to be like you, and they want to learn and glean everything from you they can. So it's not just limited to how can I preach better. That would fit more in the coaching side. Mentoring is, how do I live my life in a godly way like you live it? It is a long term. It's personal. Most of the time, you're giving directions from your past experiences. Share all of them. Don't sit there and hide things. We're going to get into that a little bit later about trust and honesty, but just be open and honest about things that have happened in your past. Like I said earlier, it needs to be an older person with more experience, and then you're directing them towards solutions that have been successful in the past in life. Okay. So this might be a thing where you're guiding them on how to, help, revitalize a church. And so you're going to tell them things that have worked, and you're going to tell them things that have not. Some people call it, you're going to help them not pay dumb tax, because you've already did things that maybe did not work, and you don't want them to have to go through the same things that you did.
Isn't that Dave Ramsey that talks about stupid tax on his program? I think he does. That is so true, that when you have a mentor, and even if you have a coach, but especially that mentorship, you're able to get that direction and be directed towards solutions. I think mentoring too is not, I mean, it's not like a dictatorship in the sense that the mentor tells the person being mentored everything to do, but you're going to give some clear direction. The coaching is more designed towards self-discovery. There is some guided direction and some suggestion, but with mentoring, there's definite direction. Now, I'm going to ask you this, Kevin, is it possible that the mentor pastor who's mentoring a younger person could also be coached by the younger person he's mentoring?
It would be hard, but yeah, it could happen. Like if there was a clear thing where a pastor was like, hey, I don't feel like I'm reaching the younger generation when I preach, could you help me understand them better? That would totally be a coaching thing, that the mentor could be being coached by the younger leader. And it wouldn't be a weird step across bounds.
Well, and maybe the mentoring relationship provides an opportunity for the person doing the mentoring to get incredible insight about what that younger person, or younger in the ministry, it may not be younger in age, it may just be a newer believer. That insight is part of what God wanted to happen. I'm sure Paul learned things from Timothy. And of course, Timothy learned a great deal from Paul, but I'm sure Paul learned from Timothy too.
Well, and the other side of that too is you have to understand that as the young leader might be coaching you, they're also remembering what's going on. So whenever they become an older leader, they're going to know, oh, I need to make sure that I'm doing things like this and always plugging into the next generation and making sure that I'm being relevant with the gospel to them as well. So it's a dual thing. You might be asking to be coached, but you're preparing them to be an older leader.
That's right. That's right. And it's so key. And it really does make a difference. And this is just some research that Malfers did really quickly. Notice what he sees here. He asked these questions to a group of pastors. Some of them were turning their church around. There was marked signs of revitalization. Others were stagnant. And if you notice it, look, it says, you know, did you have a coach or mentor at the beginning of your ministry? There's not as big of a difference. 62% of the turnaround pastors, the ones successful in seeing revitalization, said they had a coach or mentor at the beginning of their ministry. 57% of the churches that didn't turn around said they definitely had a coach. So it's obvious that if you're in ministry, period, there was someone in your life that helped you get started in the ministry. But notice the difference now in the second category, Kevin, that if you do have a mentor or coach now, he turned the question and he said, do you have a coach or mentor in your life now? 62% of the pastors that were seeing some success and revitalization, that's, you know, 6 out of 10 said they had a coach or a mentor right now. The ones who were unsuccessful said 14%. Ooh. So definitely there's a correlation there that I guess maybe what is he saying, Kevin, that we need to have an attitude of wanting to learn continually in ministry?
Yeah, I think also it goes to the mentality of my way or the highway. If you have a mentor, you're going to be able to bounce ideas off of and think through things more clearly. It's not just going to be maybe somebody shooting from the hip of like, I think this is what we need to do. You're going to have somebody that's seasoned, somebody that's been in ministry for a long time, and you're going to have somebody that helps keep the peace in revitalization situations.
That's right. That's right. Because you're able to get that. I'm getting a question coming in right now, so I'm just going to go ahead and respond to it. He says, as a non-traditional pastor, I've learned a lot from some of my younger brothers, pastors. He's mentioning some names here, and he says, you guys have been a blessing to me as a first-time pastor, so I wouldn't limit age as a factor. Years of experience helps, too. And that's a great word from one of our brothers down in Southern Illinois. And again, that having that desire to have mentorship. Kevin, why don't just real quick, just who's someone that's been key in your life as you started in ministry and continue?
One of the most actual influential people in my life was my wife's grandfather. He wasn't even in ministry. He was a businessman in Florida. And he was just very much, he had had a breaking point where he lost everything. And then he really came to Jesus and he mentored me a lot. And he would always be a guy that I'd call if I ever had issues. And I would always talk to him. We would sit and talk hours about theology. And the thing is, he always had great advice because he came from an idea of like, okay, how do we keep peace? How do we do this well? And he was also outside of the box because he wasn't ministry specific. He would think about also what works. And so he was one of the most influential people in my life early in ministry.
Yeah, it's so key. And I know my pastor, Brother Tommy Pierce, was so key in helping me. He just built confidence in me. Kevin, I remember the first time I ever led worship, I got up behind the pulpit and I was so scared. Like my knees were knocking together. I was like having a panic attack, you know, and I think the song was like Jesus Saved, something like that. And I was like, good morning, everybody, you know, and everybody was standing there. And I just never forget Brother Tommy's deep voice, very tall man, loves the Lord. And he just said, amen. That's all he did. But as he looked at me, it was like, we believe in you. Just lead us, you know, and his mentorship and his encouragement and then the grace to let us make some mistakes as we begin to grow. It's just so crucial. So it's just important to have those people in your life. Kevin, let's look at our next slide here. We're going to talk about the essential characteristics of whether you're being a mentor, whether you're being a coach, or you're the one being mentored or coached. What are the common traits?
All of these literally fit in there with honesty, vulnerability, security in Christ, trust, commitment, and being teachable and coachable. So I'm going to kind of run through all of them just really quickly. But honesty, be honest no matter what. If this is a person on your staff and people in your church might be very angry with it, you need to be honest and don't sit there and try to sugarcoat things, because the thing is, you're not helping them learn if you're trying to keep them from knowing the truth of anything in their lives that's going on. Be honest. Also be vulnerable. Like, tell of stories in your past where you've lived sinfully. Like, tell things that are there. Don't try to hide those either, because if you're trying to bring somebody up to you, you want to make sure that they know who you are and not sit there and try to have some mindset of, oh, this guy's perfect, because they're never going to achieve perfection. Let them know who you actually are. Security in Christ. Your identity is in Christ. It's not in your pastorate. It's not in your ministry. It's not in any of that. And if you don't have security in that, you're not going to be able to mentor or coach anybody, because your ego is going to be in the way, and somebody you're going to coach and mentor will be better than you at things. And that's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. So your identity is in Christ, not what you do. You need to be able to trust them. They also need to be able to trust you. They should not ever tell you something in a meeting and then hear it from somebody else. I remember one time I had a pastor that I told him, we had had a rough month at the church, and I said, man, if I did not really love being here, I would have put out my resume, like, because I was very frustrated. And then about 45 minutes later, another minister on staff comes, are you putting out your resume? Like, within 45 minutes. And I quickly knew I couldn't trust him anymore. So I didn't even ever worry about talking to him about things like that. So always be trustworthy and always make sure that they can trust you, but also make sure you can trust them. There has to be a commitment. Like, you cannot sit there and go, okay, I'm going to mentor you, but then never show up. Like, that literally shows that you don't want to mentor, don't want to coach. And in essence, that can show ministers that you don't care about the next generation. Being teachable and coachable, make sure the person is, but also make sure that you're learning from them. This needs to be a give and take relationship. Let them push at some of your ideas. Like, there's going to be a respect there, so they're not going to be like, oh, your ideas are always awful or anything like that. But make sure they can push at things and ask certain questions. Don't just shut them down. So those would be the key traits, I would believe.
Mm. And that being teachable and coachable it's just an ongoing challenge for all of us. Every one of us has that nature to buck up. Yeah. And I think that's why Jesus hits that so hard with his disciples about the importance of abiding in him and listening to him. And then as they served together, he told his disciples they needed to be willing to give their lives for one another. I think we have to say, Lord, what can I learn from this person that you put in my life? And sometimes, I mean, let's just be honest, Kevin, sometimes we learn things that we shouldn't do, and that's okay too. You know, or maybe it's a principle we learned from them, that mentor or coach, but maybe we live it out a little differently than they did. And that's okay too. It's the same biblical principles, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's think about what you should expect from a mentor or a coach. So if you're looking for someone to coach you or to mentor you, here are some of the things that you should expect them to do for you as part of your ministry. And we're going to include all this for you after the webinar. We're going to have this list, you know, as you're looking. And I'm just going to mention this too. You know, a big part of our revitalization ministry is a deeper level of coaching that's available to you as a pastor. So if you want to reach out to me, you know, we'll have a free conversation. Of course, you know, I know there's some cost involved in Refocus, but there's a lot of things you can do to have a coach and have a mentor. And IBSA is here to do that. We have literally set aside thousands of dollars and all kinds of resources, Kevin, to help coach. But as you're looking for a coach, you want to define areas of your life and ministry that need work. So the coach needs to be willing to make those definitions for you. And so, in other words, when you're reaching out to the coach, you need to expect that they're going to tell you you have some room for growth in areas. Don't be surprised when that happens. And so you can expect your mentor and coach to help you in those areas of need.
Yeah. I mean, that's, I would say in my life, like, I would look for people. Like, if you also know of areas that you need to grow in, make sure the mentor's good in those areas. There are some people that are my friends that I care about that we have just great relationships with, but there are certain things I will not call them about because I know maybe they're bad with money. So I'm not going to go call them and ask, hey, how do I save money? How do I deal with financial stewardship issues? There are other people that I know they might jump from ministry to ministry. So I'm never going to call them with a church problem because I know they'd be like, oh, you need to go. So you got to look at their areas of life too with that. And then the next thing, kind of the next slide, if you jump to that, they need to help you at a minimum in the areas of learning, encouragement, accountability, and visioning a new future for the church. Make sure to hold people accountable. Like, I think that's something that we get nervous about with the younger generation is they don't want accountability. No, they do want accountability. They don't want accountability in a sense of, oh, if you're doing it wrong, that we're gonna take you out to the woodshed or something. But they want accountability in a sense of, hey, if you see us slacking off, if you see sin in our lives, call us out. Because the thing is, we don't want to live like that.
That's good, Kevin. And one thing I want to let pastors know about, if you get involved in our coaching process through Refocus, part of that process is an assessment of yourself as a leader, that you have seven other of your peers and you get to select who those people are. They fill out an assessment on you, on your strengths and your growth areas. But one thing we want to give you a rock solid commitment about is those results are confidential to you. We don't share them with anyone else in the church. We only share them with you, and then you can choose to share, but you're going to be the owner of that information. Sometimes pastors are worried that we're just going to broadcast those assessment results, and that is not what we're doing. We want to just help you to grow. And then in that mentorship relationship too, confidentiality is assured. So great points there, Kevin. And also that envisioning the future for the church. The one thing that coach is going to help you to do is just to get that vision. He's going to seek the Lord with you about that vision or what should the church be. And this leads me to the next one. If you're going to be a coach or a mentor, you've got to be reliable. And I think Kevin mentioned earlier, you know, it's really discouraging if you say you're going to mentor or coach somebody, but then you never meet with them and you never take time for them. So as you're going into this relationship, by being a mentor or being a coach, or if you're going to be coached or be mentored, I think you should look at it as something you get to do, not something you have to do, first of all. And I think that helps. But you need to carve out intentional time for this. I would say at least an hour every month, I mean, at the minimum, that you're going to have some time to talk together. And maybe more than that, just depends on your schedule. But you need to be intentional about that time and look forward to it. Right, Kevin?
Yes. Yes. Like, don't drag in. Like, don't be like, oh, okay, I didn't really prepare for any of this. Make sure that it's a reliable thing that they know, hey, he cares about this. Because the moment you show them that you don't care, they're not going to care as much either. So that's something that's huge, especially with the younger generation, is to be reliable. And if you've had a bad day, like if you had kids or something waking up, my 4-year-old decided she wanted to wet the bed last night at 5:30 in the morning. So I was up at 5:30 dealing with that. But the thing is, like, we all have things like that pop up. Tell them that happened. Tell them, be honest with them. Say, sometimes I don't have it all together. And they respect that more than if you try to act like you have it all together. Like, ooh, just be honest and be reliable and make sure that you're prepared. And yeah, you're going to love mentoring people.
That's right. That's right. And tell us about why it's important to actually have a plan for what you do.
Oh, yeah. Make sure you have an idea and a plan in mind of what you're doing. Some of the things you can do with developing kind of a leadership development plan is make sure that you know their strengths and their weaknesses, and always try to develop their weaknesses, but also let them play to their strengths. God created us all a certain way. So don't strip them of their strengths and think that you're going to have a great time just by developing only their weaknesses. You will put them in a miserable position to where they're always playing from behind, and they will feel that way, and they will feel like they didn't grow that much, and they will feel defeated. Always make sure to have a good mixture of those, but also with the plan, make sure that you're trying to make progress in those certain areas that are weaknesses.
Yeah, that's so true. And I know as we work with pastors, we have three main areas based on God's word that we look at in an effective revitalizing pastor. First of all is the wise elder, and then we have the skilled overseer, and then the transformational shepherd. And every one of us, we're going to have one of those three areas that's kind of our wheelhouse. Mm-hmm. you know, that we're going to be the strongest at. And then there's going to be the other two areas that are going to need some growth. I mean, it's every one of us. But just because we maybe are stronger in one area than the other doesn't mean we don't try to lead in those other key areas. We ask God to help us develop those skills. And that's why I think you see that such a higher percentage of pastors that are being coached being successful, because they're intentionally going after those growth areas and trying to grow in the Lord. So great point, Kevin. And then, of course, Kevin already mentioned this. You determine your areas of strength. And we're kind of getting ready to transition here in just a minute. But your coach should be demanding as you look at your weak areas. You found your strengths, but then when you identify your weaknesses, your coach should be demanding. And then this kind of goes back maybe for fitness, physical fitness, too. You know, they say no pain, no gain at the gym. And, you know, if you're building muscles in your body, they have to be broken down to come back stronger. And I think it's Greg Laurie, Kevin, that says that the trials we go through in life are God's gym, that like he breaks us down to where, you know, we have to look at him and depend on him, and then it grows us back stronger. And so you want a coach that's going to kind of cause you to work out, and it's going to be a little bit painful and to stretch you. But that's really, really important, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I would say if you think about even college football with it going on right now, they always have a strength and conditioning coach, and those people get paid a lot of money. But the thing is, they know the limits to go to, and they don't try to injure players. They try to build their bodies to perform the best they can. So I would say it's a lot like that. You want to build their faith. You do want to stretch them as far as you can sometimes, but at the same time, you're never wanting to injure them and knock them out.
That's good. That's good. And I think, you know, maybe too, you're hitting on something that's really good there, because a revitalizing pastor is doing the same thing, because he's letting the Lord use him to stretch his people, stretch the congregation that the Lord's given him, to cause them to be more on mission with God and more fruitful. But yet you've got to know the limitations of how far they can stretch at that given moment. You've got to pace the change of the church so that you don't break the relationships. Yeah. One thing Satan tries to do with us as pastors sometimes is to get us to go too far too quick and to stop listening. A lot of times we listen to God about the what, but then we stop listening about when we do it and how we do it. Mm-hmm. And we can get ahead, and it can cause all kinds of damage in our church. We meant well, but that's why having a coach or a mentor is so good, because just like you said, that coach is going to stretch you, but he's also going to know your limits, and he's going to help you know your church's limits as far as how fast they can go. So really good, Kevin. And what about reading material? Why is that important in a coaching relationship?
If you're not making anybody do work, if you're just coming and talking every day, that's not actually coaching. That is just hanging out. And they can, a young leader can do that with anybody. They can go hang out with a friend. They can get on the phone and talk to another friend. Whenever they're wanting to grow and they're expressing that interest, we need to have materials for them that make them think past themselves and make them think past maybe even the environment they're in, because that will be what actually brings them about to being a great leader, a successful leader. So always have things that you're discussing and certain topics, and don't just let it come in to be like, hey, we're having coffee this morning, because then you've lost that mentorship idea. And you're just a friend at that point. That's it.
Having things to read and having things to work through together, it kind of gives structure to the relationship, doesn't it?
Yes.
And that's one thing. I know I sound like a salesman a little bit, but in our refocused coaching process, that you know, what we do is once you're done with your assessment, we develop as part of the coaching plan a reading plan. And so over several months, you're going to work through some books together, meet with your coach about that, and it's just a wonderful time together as we work through that together. So that is very, very important. Now, if also as you're thinking about choosing someone, let's say that you want to coach someone, you're feeling the Lord, maybe God's speaking to your heart in this broadcast today, whether you're watching live or later, and you realize, hey, I do need to find some young leaders, or maybe you already do that, but you just want to be effective at it. And it's just good to have these reminders. You already know a lot of these things. We're just going to remind you. First of all, if you are going to mentor someone, you need to know your own areas of strength and you need to know your own weaknesses. And Kevin, like you said, you've got to be transparent about that, don't you?
Yes. Nobody's going to be perfect, and in a relationship like this, no one expects you to be perfect. So if you try to come about as if you are and as if you have no areas of weakness, you're going to turn a lot of people off, and they're not going to. That means you're not coachable, which goes back to an earlier point. And so we have to have that transparency. And then you're wanting to also find a pastor or a group of pastors whom you might invest your life. Whenever we're in this race of ministry, you got to have allies. You have to have people you can talk to. There are sometimes that you can't talk to anybody else, but maybe another pastor that you know, and he would understand what you're going through. So you have to find that, just maybe find those, and you want to invest your life in them. And personally, I would say find people that have strengths that you don't have. Mm-hmm. Be around them, because normally they might be playing a little bit off of their strengths and you play off yours. But the thing is, it shows both weaknesses, and also it helps bring you up to their level as well.
Yes, that's so true. And again, being you may be the quote unquote mentor or coach, but you're going to get so much wisdom and insight from being around other people. And I think about great leaders in our Southern Baptist family, Illinois Baptist family. But I think about Adrian Rogers, who I never knew personally, but had such a tremendous impact on people. Such a humble man. I mean, you heard him talk about himself, and he, when he did, he always was, you could just sense the humility that he was a real guy and he loved people. And for some reason, the Lord took him home, Kevin, but he had planned in his retirement to just mentor and coach pastors. That's how he was going to spend the rest of his life. But we, of course, he's still doing that today through the things he's left behind for us, his teaching. Yeah. But again, like you said, I think he was a man. I think one of the reasons he was so effective was because he understood his strengths in the Lord, but he mm-hmm. also understood his weaknesses, and he complimented himself around. He put people around him that could complement his own weaknesses.
Yeah. I would add to that. Don't be the unapproachable pastor. Mm-hmm. There was a podcast once that was kind of a joking podcast about churches. And one of the things is they always joked about having the pastor on, but he would never come on for an interview, and they'd always be interviewing other people. And one of the things is the host said, "Yeah, I saw Pastor so-and-so. He was outside of his office with the hedges grown up 20 feet, and I peeked through and I saw him. And then he said, 'Hey, I'm getting ready. Please leave me alone.' But it was so great to talk to him." Don't be the guy that cannot be approached by anybody at any time. And we've all seen people that can't be approached, but be humble. Be the servant that God has created you to be. Don't be the one that thinks, "Hey, I'm so up here, I can't be around other people." Because that's just not true.
No, we need each other, and God meant for us to serve him together. And yeah, that leads us right into the next place. You know, as you're looking for the pastors to serve, and mentor and coach, you've got to pray. Let God be the one to give you wisdom about that. He's going to, and I bet if you start to pray, Kevin, if you start to pray and ask God to give you an opportunity, he's going to send that person into your life, and it's going to be unquestionable who it is. And it may be a group of people, so just pray and ask the Lord to give wisdom. And then, Kevin, how do you do the ask? How do you approach somebody to say, "Hey, I would love to," what's the way to ask the, pop the question?
I would literally, so kind of what I said earlier, I said, make sure they're seeking you out a little bit. I know that the slide says approach one or more pastors, but what I'm saying is they're going to seek you out as in they're going to want to be around you. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes they don't know how to they don't know how to ask. So you just say, "Hey, do you need somebody in your life like to help mentor you?" And then also be humble in the ask and say, "Hey, I also need help in areas, and I see some strengths in you in this way that I don't have personally. So I would love to glean those from you as well." And I think that's the best way to do it. It shows there's already a two-way relationship, and this isn't, "Hey, I've been doing this for a long time, I need to show you how it's done." It's saying, "Look, I'm coachable, but I also want to help you because I see more in you."
Amen. And I think you sound like Henry Blackaby, but you know, he talks about how, you know, God is a God of relationships. Mm-hmm. And so God's going to form the friendship first, and then he activates our relationships to accomplish God's work. So within the context of your relationships, Kevin, I think what I hear you saying is that the Lord will kind of put on your heart the one who you've already got that good relationship with, and then you can bring intentionality to that relationship for the coaching and mentoring. But then again, I think one of the ways you, if you're asking to have that relationship, you can also state, I want to learn from you too. So it's a mutual, it's a mutual relationship. What about the subjects and the time frame? How do we address those things, Kevin?
If you're going with subjects and time frame, I would let them also in on this whole thing. Maybe y'all do a Google Doc or something together and just kind of figure out what subjects you want to hit, because sometimes you might not think of a subject they want to talk to you about. Because sometimes when we have a strength, we know it's a strength, but we don't think about it very often because we don't have to. And so they might be wanting that. And so I would let them do that, but also make sure and set a time frame, make it a time frame that both of you can commit to, even if things are crazy. Like, that's the one thing I would say. If you know your life is crazy at certain times, but this one time a day every week is set and you can do it, make sure to do it and make sure to set it at that time. So that kind of comes with a little bit of talking with each other, making sure that the schedules are compatible. But at the same time, always make sure that that is a time that is, man, that's got to be almost as devoted as your quiet time. Because again, it has to be something concrete.
Well, and I don't, sometimes, it, and maybe you're like me sometimes when I've had folks that wanted to have that relationship with me and help coach me and mentor me, and they wanted to ask questions about me a lot. And sometimes that bothers you at first if you've not been used to talking about yourself much. But yeah. It's okay. It's okay, because especially in the context of you want to be a more effective servant of the Lord. And again, you should have someone investing in you, and then you should be investing in someone else too. So, you know, you're blessed to have that person in your life to help you have that relationship, and you need to bless someone else.
Oh yeah. And with that, Scott, if you're asking them questions, never ask them a question that you're not willing to answer to them, because that goes back to that whole transparency thing. If you're not willing to answer something, don't ask it, because you're not being transparent at that moment. And they know it normally.
We just got to be real. And this brings us to our next slide, which is going to have several points on it. What should you as a coach expect from the person you're coaching or mentoring? First of all is reliability. Show up and be honest. Be transparent. What's next, Kevin?
Inquisitiveness. Make sure to be asking about different things in their life. Like, don't leave it to ministry, I would say, is kind of what I would go with it. Ask about family. Ask about kids. Ask about parenting. Ask about all the harder stuff that sometimes people don't want to talk about, but be very inquisitive into their life, because number one, it shows you care. And number two, it's also going to show things that also they need to work on. And it might show things that you need to work on. So yeah, be very inquisitive.
Yeah, that's right. And so be ready to ask questions, and it's okay to ask tough questions. and be honest. And then I think that ties right into the next one. If you're being coached or being mentored, you should expect to grow. This, again, like you said, I mean, getting together and having coffee, getting together and having fellowship is good, but there's going to be intentional growth in this process. And so if you're wanting to be coached, then you should expect to, there's going to be some positive change in your life, and it could involve some pain. Be ready for that.
Yeah. And it just kind of leads into, I mean, we've kind of beat the drum on this being coachable. Do not at all try to coach somebody that is not coachable. I mean, we hear it every year when NFL draft and all this pops up. Are these people coachable? Is he coachable? Because if they don't want to be coached, then you're wasting your time.
Yeah, that's right.
The truth.
And that leads right into our last one here, an eager learner. And again, Kevin, through our research that we found, the number one factor that is going to point toward the possibility of successful revitalization in the life of a pastor is that he's broken. If he is a broken man and realizes he is completely dependent on God and he's willing to let God change him, then God will use him to change his church. If he thinks that he has arrived and he is a legend in his own mind, if he thinks he's all that in a bag of chips, then that goes with any of us, right? And we can all get that way. We see in the Bible what happened when leaders in the Bible got to feel that way and got overconfident. But we need to be coachable. We need to be teachable. We need to be eager learners, don't we? Mm-hmm. One more time, Kevin, walk us through this list. If you're a coach or you're being coached, what characteristics do you need to have?
Honesty, and that is being forthright with all your answers, not hiding things, vulnerability, they need to be willing to open up about areas that hurt, maybe even areas that they don't like to discuss with everybody, but are there. Your identity has to be secure in Christ. Your ego needs to be checked at the door. There doesn't need to be a place for egos, or else then it's just going to become a contest at the end of it. There needs to be a trust. Always be trustworthy. Always keep things that are confidential, confidential. Do not let those out. Do not have a minister come 45 minutes later from another part of the church asking about things. Commitment. Always be somebody that is dependable, that is going to be there whenever they say they're going to be there. And then also just being teachable and coachable. That is probably one of the bigger ones that has to be there.
Yes, that's right. And we just want to remind ourselves of this constantly. And I know many, like I said, I know that the purpose of this broadcast today, maybe it's not to teach you anything new that you don't know, but just to bring it back to your mind, with love, that we're just putting it back in front of us, that we've all got to be coached and mentored, and we need to be coaching and mentoring. And I'm thankful for mentors in my life. I think about Pat Pajak, the Greater Decatur Alliterator, his love for pastors. And when I was pastoring at Stillville, I have to go back and look. I think my first email to IBSA, the subject line was help with an exclamation mark, just because I was new to pastoring, new to Illinois, had some situations to deal with. And I was so thankful for Pat and Jack Lucas, the zone consultant, and others who just came in with love. Van Kicklider, Charles Campbell came down. I mean, they helped me to get our revitalization moving at Stillville, and invested in my life. I think about Richard Newcomb, who pastored Stillville for 17 years, then pastored in Wood River about the same amount of time. And he told me on my first day on the job on the phone, he said, "Scott, they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care." And that line just stuck with me. Mentors and coaches are important. And guys, if you're listening to this broadcast, you're going to make a difference in somebody's life. And I know Kevin has got more people. He's mentioned some. Those mentors and coaches are just absolutely essential in our lives, aren't they, Kevin?
Yes. Yeah. The impact that a mentor and a coach can have can honestly just, it impacts the kingdom of God so much that I think sometimes we overlook it, because it helps to keep the stern going in the right direction on revitalizations, on church plants, on ministries, on every kind of aspect like that.
Yep, that's right. And I've got one more question. We've got time for one more question that just came in. I'm providing coaching to younger leaders, but I don't see a big difference yet. Is my coaching making a difference in their life?
We don't know the circumstance, but it could be. Sometimes coaching takes time. It's not always like, hey, I jump in there and there's an immediate change. If you're seeing gradual change, then you are having an impact. I'm excited about football. I'm glad it's back. But the thing is, sometimes we have this mentality of a coach should make an immediate impact. Everything should be going in the right direction. It depends on the people you're coaching. If they weren't doing great before you started, and then they start to turn the corner, that's immediate impact. Even if you feel like, man, I feel like they should be here, but they're back here. So you just have to keep the commitment, keep the focus. Sometimes we want that immediate impact so bad that we're like, they're not the people I want to coach, but they're the people God's put in your life. And you need to remember that whole part about commitment, and you have to keep focused on that.
Yes, yes, we do. We love you. And I'm right now, Kevin, as we tell the pastors we love them, we're getting so many encouraging messages about our broadcast today. And we're thankful for your support for the ministry. And these coaching principles are just biblical principles, aren't they? Mm-hmm. And we need to remember how many churches we are impacting. And that's one thing that Pat Pajak has taught me. I'm bringing up Pat again, but when you're sharing the gospel, when you're investing leaders, when you plant that seed, it's going to bear fruit in someone's life. And we don't determine when that bears fruit, but we know it will. We know that it will. And Kevin, I'm really thankful to have you with us today. And Kevin, before we go, just for a minute, tell us how can the mobilization team help your church and serve your church right now?
Well, one of the biggest ways, and we'll go to this, we'll even talk about this topic, as your leaders develop, you need to have a sending culture. I think that is the healthiest culture in a church, is to be willing to let people go whenever they have been developed under you. And you know, hey, maybe they're capped here and I need to send them off. Encourage them to church plant, encourage them to pastor a church. One of the best things that I think ministry, whenever ministry happens well, one of the best things is leaving it open-handed and saying, God, you've given these people to me, but at the same time, they're your instruments to produce an impact in your kingdom. And so just being that open hand, introduce us to some of your young leaders. If you think they might be able to plant a church, introduce us. We would love to get to know them. And also we do missions, we do evangelism, we do pretty much a lot of stuff. We just don't do revitalization, Scott.
So that's the reason you do is when we get on mission, that brings health and growth to our church.
Yes. There we go.
So it's all tied together. And that's why our three teams, you know, health, growth, mission, it's all just living out the New Testament model of the church. That's what we're doing together. And your mobilization team is here to serve you. And don't worry, when you call Kevin, that doesn't mean that you have to plant the church tomorrow.
No.
Sometimes churches are kind of afraid of starting the process because they're like, oh, you know, but just say, hey, I want to be more on mission with God. Then the mobilization team is going to come and meet with you. They've got tools to help you know how you can be more on mission. And that's going to help with revitalization, because it's going to help your church people realize and help you to realize where God is at work and how you can join him in his work. So, Kevin, I really appreciate you being on today. And guys, thank you for your feedback. Lots of good feedback today. Thank you. And one question that just came in, can I get the PowerPoint? Absolutely. When we send out the follow-up email today, we'll put a link to this PowerPoint and you're free to use it and edit it how you need to for your purposes. And don't forget, if you don't have the book yet, we'll give you a copy of the book. Just email me, scottvoshi@ibsa.org. And also, Kevin, one of the things that some pastors are worried about is that revitalization is extra work. Being in revitalization, our ministry is not extra work. It's extra support. It's extra support because we're going to come alongside you. So if you're interested in that, we'd love to have a free church health consultation with your church, scottvoshi@ibsa.org. Get the book. We'd love to have you get the book. And Kevin, why don't you just pray us out before we go, brother? Thank you for being on today.
All right, Father, just thank you for letting us be here today to talk about investing in others, God. It's a thing that you commanded whenever you say, let us go make disciples, God. And so I pray that we would constantly be in discipleship relationships, mentoring relationships, coaching relationships, always looking forward to that day that we get to see you, God, but knowing that we're not perfect here and that we need help. So God, I pray for that. I pray that you'd give a yearning in older ministers and younger ministers to come together, God, and to seek out these relationships. What I pray that you would just impact your church through mentors, through coaches, and that we would just see a great harvest in Illinois, Father. I pray all this in your name. Amen.
And thanks, guys. We're here with you. Let us know how we can serve you. We love you, and we'll talk to you next time. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening. To learn more, please email scottvoshi@ibsa.org. This ministry is provided by the Illinois Baptist State Association through your faithful cooperative program giving. May God richly bless you.